Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here Wednesday, January the 19th, 2022, 14 minutes past the hour, here at WWGH Radio Time. Telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Had a lot of interesting conversation in hour number one. Again, if you get a busy signal, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back in. We had a couple phone calls there while I was telling my story about getting an oil change yesterday. Well, really a whole car inspection, and I did not get to those phone calls. So if that was you, give us a buzz back here. We'd love to hear what you might have had to say. 740-383-9944. And do just want to recap that we did hear. We started talking about this, I think, early last week, about Sue Millizer, the Catwoman, who lives here in Marion, and had not heard from her in quite a long time. Probably had not heard from her since we were in the mall studios, and one of our listeners, Judy, went over to her house. We weren't even sure that she still lived at the same address over on Silver Street, and left a letter with her last week. And when I came in this morning, the answering machine was blinking, and it was Sue, and she left her phone number and said she listens, because she said she enjoyed the program. And I know she is in need of help with something. I don't want to give her phone number out, but if she calls in before the show is over this morning and would like to give her number out or tell us what she's in need of help with, and also give us an update on the dog bite from a few years ago, and does she still have all of those cats over on Silver Street? We would love to hear from her. So if you do know Sue and you do have Sue's phone number, she is still over there, give her a call and have her call in. We certainly would love to hear from her. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Also, this is a bit of information hung over from yesterday. We had a call yesterday that Jim Ganahl, a Channel 6 meteorologist, had not been on the air for a couple weeks. And I guess he came back and said the reason that he had been gone was because he had tested positive for COVID. Now, again, once I got off the air yesterday, much like with the city charter story, I sent a message to Jim, and Jim did respond and said yes, he had tested positive for COVID, but that it's kind of interesting because I asked Jim if he wanted to come on and just confirm it or say he's okay, you know, so on and so forth. Mary Ellen Withrow has done that, and other people, the mayor has done that, and Jim did not want to talk about it, which certainly is his right, but I was kind of confused because, and I like Jim, went down to his house and interviewed him last October, I was kind of confused by this, although I didn't push it, because, I mean, I did not know he had COVID, and the only way that I knew was because a listener knew, and the only way the listener knew was because he said it on television. So I'm not exactly sure what the secret is, because if he's announced it on television, it may just be one of those things where Jim is shy. When I was down there interviewing him in October, he admitted during the interview, which everybody heard here on the station, that he's a shy person, and maybe that's what it is, and he's just shy to talk any more about it. Maybe he didn't want to talk about it on the air. I'm not really sure how that happened on television, that people found out that he had COVID. I don't know if he maybe he didn't suspect that somebody was going to bring it up. But if anybody saw that or heard that on television, give me a buzz. And is Jim back on television now? I wasn't really sure if he had come back to television or if he was doing it from home, and that's when they asked him. Wasn't really sure what the situation was there, but we can confirm, and Jim had no problem confirming, that yes, he did have COVID, but obviously, I think he's doing okay, which is a very positive thing. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Well, good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I heard what you said about Jim, and I think, like I say, I don't pay that close attention to the talk in between the lines, but I think the co-anchor, or whatever you want to call the lady who was on there with him, I think she is the one that brought the subject up about him being off for a couple weeks. And there on the TV, you know, he was just maybe caught off guard for a moment, but he said, yes, I had COVID. And maybe then after your talking to him that he just didn't want to talk about it. You know, I can understand that very well, but when you approach something in front of somebody, you know, and like the TV, everybody was concerned because a lot of people, you know, he's been around for a long time. So maybe that's the reason, like you say, maybe he just was, you said in your interview with him, he's a little bashful, like on that.
Well, it was kind of interesting because I sent a message to him just to, well, first of all, I wanted to know if he had had it, and then I wanted to know that he was doing okay, which he seemed to be. But he had no problem answering the question if he had it. You know, that was no problem at all. But when I said, do you want to come on for maybe 10 minutes this morning and just let everybody know you're doing okay and maybe share your experience, kind of like Mary Ellen and the mayor did, he wasn't rude or anything, but he was just basically, this is private. But which I thought that was an odd choice of words to use, because if you've already said it on television, how private could it be?
Well, you know, him being on TV and stuff like that, he wanted to let people know why he wasn't there for 2 weeks. That's kind of a long time. You know what? The local people here, they know and been around Marion and know a lot of people, and a lot of people's concerned about, you know, if something there, if they want to say it, it's interesting to the public to know that the celebrities and the stars and everything else, they're subject to getting just as well, and nobody's bulletproof. So that's what I think is nice, that you hear from other people and they say, what? You mean that person, they're around the public all the time, and they got it, you know, and this and that, and maybe they've been around the public all the time and they haven't got it yet, you know, and this and that. There's a lot of things. Can I get back to my conversation you asked the other gentleman there about Adam?
Yes, I was interested about that.
You know, when I heard the offer, my goodness gracious, that's a $30 gift certificate. And I thought, man, that guy is he's living off the top of the shelf. Now, most of them, you know, are free pass and stuff that don't cost the radio station a dime and this and that. And he said, $30, and I thought, man, I gotta get more about this. So I challenged him on finding out, and then Terry Tackett was in the studio there, and he more or less told me where this place was. And did you hear all of the conversation me with Adam?
Well, I heard most of it, and the interesting thing to me was because you're right, $30 is a lot. Now I don't know that Adam paid for that. Maybe he did. I don't know. I didn't hear that part. But I don't know if he paid for it. That part I don't know. I haven't talked to Adam about that.
Yeah. I was gonna say something. Maybe there was a thing going on. I heard Glenn, he said something about a board meeting, and I thought, when you was off, and I thought, man, I'd like to know what about board meeting, how you're going to be interfered with it or what, you know. But the board meeting, Adam said they have them every Thursday. But I thought maybe the board got together and they all chipped in a little bit and then make the stakes high, and maybe you'd get more callers on something like that. But Adam, he put down the rules and regulations, and man, they're way out of the box for me.
Well, that's kind of what puzzled me, because as you say, and Lee, actually, the other person who called during his show who I heard, he won our Sansoda $10 gift card that we gave away a couple weeks ago. So I know Lee likes to go to the restaurants here in town. I know you do, and I heard you guys both call, and here he was offering $30, and I couldn't figure out how he didn't end up giving this away, because he did end up with calls. I guess, learning from Lee earlier, I guess it was the type of game he was playing.
Well, when Charlie was on, we, my wife and I, we don't go to any of those places. Since COVID come on, we don't take no chances or anything. So the here's the whole thing that he threw out the hook, line, and sinker that I was going to bite on. He said he'd deliver personally within 3 miles of the Marion area, and I thought, well, I was wondering if he, every time he's on the station there, if he's via from Columbus or just in Marion every time he makes the commute up here.
Yesterday he was in the studio. Now, if it's a new show, yeah, he's in the studio. I haven't heard him tape a show from Columbus in a long time. But a lot of times, like Monday was a repeat, so he wasn't here Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't, and I didn't even really know there was a big giveaway yesterday, so that's why I don't know if he paid for it. Most of those things, to be honest with you, I don't think people pay for. I've never heard of that. Maybe they do, I don't know. But most of those things usually are donated, or there's some kind of trade agreement or something like that. So I really don't know what it was, but I was just shocked, as you say, that he was willing to deliver this. It was a big prize. People do like to eat. It's a new place here in town. He did get phone calls, but I mean, nobody really went along with what he was doing. And now after talking to Lee, it just sounds like maybe it was the type of game.
I don't know, I wanted the location, so, you know, Adam was a new guy I've talked to, and I've met him eye to eye, and I just told him, I thought maybe he bought the root beer stand or something like that, you know, a Coney, you know, and $30, what the heck goes with, that's quite a bit. You can go pretty white-collar job, you know, they can, $30, that's quite a bit for a hot dog, you know, or Coney Island or whatever he said the place was, but he dialed it down, and Terry Tack helped it. It was up there at the restaurant there on Main Street right beside the courthouse. So I asked him about a frosty beer, and there at Weller's, why that was a good place to go in and eat and stuff like that. So yeah, Adam, he's fun to talk to. I got him, you know. You can't judge nobody until you meet them face to face, and maybe off the job where they are, and that makes a lot of difference on and off the job. You know, that makes a lot of difference also. But you're doing fine, Scott, and you hang in there. And the city council deal, I'm kind of interested in that. They had me all in the dark. I don't follow all the parliamentary procedure and stuff. I know we had it in school, but it's challenging to everyone, and to know the red tape everybody goes through to get stuff done around here. No wonder it takes a long time to get the streets and the sewers fixed. I like the one about the sewers. So the women's locker room at the police department. I think the police department is right there in City Hall. Now, that isn't a very old building, and let the something like that leaking down into the women's or the men's police area where they change their clothes and get ready for duty and stuff. So that's pretty wild thing to hear, you know. And then the sheriff's office, they had the sewage waste thing out there. And you know, it's funny, they let all this stuff go, and then all at once, maybe we're going to get a new city hall, you know, and count it was leaking down the wall. You don't know. I exaggerate, but I like to express myself too, that there's a lot of things going on. That why is they even had a 25-year thing on sewers, people still getting back up in sewers. Well, I'll tell you, I was born and raised on Merkel in 1941, and down in that end of town, they had sewer trouble back then. Now, I'm 80, so you talk about 80 years and they haven't got it fixed up, and they're adding 25 more years on. It seems like they just, it's a thing that's, we'll wait until something busts and then we'll try to reroute it or something like that. I don't know, Scott, but those issues there and voting on them and stuff, they say, well, you better find out all the things you can about a candidate or something. Well, how are you going to know the truth? That's the whole thing about me, and so I just put my two cents in. I'm a good guy. I have fun. I laugh, and I have fun talking to you.
Well, I appreciate it. I always enjoy when you call in.
Okay,
thank you. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Remember, if you get the busy signal, it just means we're on the line with somebody else. So feel free to call in, 29 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. But yeah, that's the story on the Jim Ganahl COVID issue that we brought up yesterday. Apparently, he did have it. But I do think he's back to work, so all is well, and we certainly wish Jim the best of luck and good health. So that's that story. All right. Oh, okay, this is what I wanted to talk about in regard to the newspaper. I was going to talk about this Monday morning, but we had the snow, and that kind of became the big issue of the morning. And again, phone lines are open for the next half hour here, 740-383-9944. Feel free to call in, and Sue, if you're out there listening, I did get your message, so if you are out there listening this morning, feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you, and if you do have a need for something, you certainly can put that on this program, as well as the Swap Shop program, which is on Thursday from 12:15 until 1 p.m. 740-383-9944. Okay. Did anybody get the notice? I think it was actually printed in the Marion Star, but I guess if you don't get the Marion Star, you would not have known unless you saw it online, that I believe it's in March that the Marion Star is not going to have Saturday delivery of the newspaper. That if you have, I think I was reading this right, that if you have a newspaper subscription where you get newspapers delivered to your house, that starting in March, you will no longer get Saturday's paper. Now, there will still be a Saturday paper that you get online, so the people who have subscriptions will be able to look at it online for free on Saturdays, but you will not get the actual hardcover paper delivered to your house. Now, this is, to me, this is fairly big. I know the newspaper industry is in trouble, but this is President Harding's newspaper. That's kind of significant here in Marion. We've had issues over the years with local stories and local reporters and things of that nature, but really never anything with the delivery or the hard copies of the paper. And what I wondered, and I assume, and again, I'm just assuming this, because you can buy the newspapers in the stores. They still are sold in many stores. I wonder if stores will have hard copy papers on Saturdays come March. I don't know if they will or not. I could not determine, because in the newspaper, it seemed to be that it was all about delivery, that the Saturday papers would not be delivered starting in March. Now, I don't know if they're going to print a Saturday paper at all that you could buy at a gas station or a grocery store or anything like that. I don't know. Does this impact anybody? I mean, I know the subscription to the Star for delivery has been going up and up and up over the last few years, and I know people have been complaining about the lack of local stories and the size of the newspaper over the past few years. I thought this was a fairly significant story. I believe it came out last Wednesday, but no more home delivery of the Marion Star, only on Saturdays, starting in March. Does anybody have anything to say about that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody have issues with their delivery? I do know there for a while that people were having issues getting the paper. Papers were not ending up in people's yards or on their doorsteps or their porches. There were all kinds of things going on. Now, I haven't heard those complaints for a while, which I guess is a good thing, but I don't know if this is going to impact anything. If you have a subscription to the Marion Star, is it going to bother you that it will not be delivered on Saturdays anymore? Anybody have anything to say about that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I know the reason a lot of people get a hard copy of a newspaper is because they like to cut out the articles, maybe if their grandkids or kids are involved, for scrapbooks or the obituaries. I know that's a big thing. A lot of people cut out the obituaries and put them in their Bibles or put them in books. You know, I was making a joke about this, but to me it is kind of funny. I guess don't pass away, don't die on a Wednesday or Thursday, because if they run your obituary on a Saturday, it's not going to go out in the paper. It'll be online, but not everybody has access to online. Not everybody uses online. So that's interesting to me, because I think they only run the obituary once of a person. So I would think now, when March comes around, that, and I don't know what it costs to put an obituary in the paper, but I hear it's pretty costly at this point, that if, I think you might be unhappy if your obituary was going to run on a Saturday, because there would be no hard copy of the paper. And that's why I wonder if they're still going to be on sale at the grocery stores and the department stores and the gas stations. And thinking of that, if you have a subscription, you would still have to pay for it if you went to a grocery store or a gas station and bought the newspaper. If there are still going to be hard copies at all, I don't know. I don't know what this says about the times we're in, and I don't know how that's all gonna hash out. I would think that's going to create problems. Now, again, I don't know if this is because they're having a lack of drivers. I don't know if it's a lack of delivery people, or I don't know if it's just too much to print the Star and deliver it on the weekend. I'm not really sure. Has anybody heard anything about this? I know a lot of times people out there hear things before I do. Or do you have any opinions on it? Your opinions are always welcome. So do you know anything about the announcement made by the Marion Star last week that they would not be delivering home editions of the Star on Saturday come March of 2022. Any information on that or any opinion on that? 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott. Have they always charged for obituaries in the paper?
Well, certainly in the last 30 years they have.
I really don't agree with that, because you take the paper, if that's how you want to get your obituaries, you're only going to get the ones that people pay.
Well, that's true, and that's been a big issue as of late.
Nobody pays you guys to put obituaries on, do they?
No. All our obituaries are free.
You know, so I want to listen. You know, when you guys do it, I want to listen to all of them. If I buy the paper for the obituaries, I'd want all the obituaries, not just the ones that... I could see maybe not doing an article, but they should at least put the name, you know, they passed away, just a little clip for free.
Well, it is interesting, because clearly the funeral homes are not getting this money, because the funeral homes give us the obituaries for free. So I believe it's a newspaper thing. Now, it's been going on a while, but I do think the cost has went up. It seems to me like 10 or 15 years ago, it was like $100 or $200 to put an obituary in. But I think it possibly is more than that now.
Oh, my God. Well, there's going to be a lot of obituaries that you don't hear or don't see then if you check that paper.
Well, it's interesting because if you look at the Marion Star and you see the obituaries, you got to think they're making, you know, somewhere between $100 and $250 off every obituary in the Star.
Yeah. You know, you talk about that being President Harding's paper. You know, I wonder, it'd be nice if the Marion Star would ever be, you know, saying they went out of business, if Marion Community could buy it, run it as a non-profit, and keep it going, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know,
it's
I don't...
to President Harding.
Well, it's interesting because I don't know what the cost is to print it. And I'm curious, is the reasoning for not delivering the Saturday paper anymore because they're out of delivery drivers or because they are having trouble printing the paper? I don't know what... It didn't really say what is causing that I saw in the article that I read. Now, maybe it has said someplace else, but I don't know which is the problem. I don't know if it's the cost of printing the paper or if it's the delivery driver that has to come out to your home.
It might be a little bit of both.
Well, I'm curious to see if they still print the paper on Saturday and sell it in the grocery stores and department stores.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's... I don't think it said in the article.
But a lot of times these stores don't... You know, some of these stores only get two or three papers a day.
Well, you know, a lot of times they don't even sell those.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the problems. I think the amount going to the stores has to do with the amount that the store sells.
So I can't, if they don't sell very many of them, I can't see them even worrying about putting it out in the stores.
Well, the one thing when I read that article that went through my mind was, I wonder why Saturday... Because, I mean, let's say a major news story happened on Friday. You know, let's say something happened Friday morning that's a big news story. Somebody died who was a big deal here in town, or there was a big fire, or there was a big accident or something. Well, that would be in Saturday's paper. Well, if there is no Saturday paper except for the online edition, there's going to be a whole group of people. Because we always talk about this with radio. You know, I always said, well, if the FCC pulled our license, we would still be on the TuneIn and on the website, but some people don't have TuneIn and the website. So if the newspaper's going to all digital, what about the people who don't have the digital if there's a big story on Friday?
They have to wait till Monday or Tuesday.
Well, if it even gets in the newspaper then, because I don't think they'd run it twice.
Well, we miss, you know, not having you guys on, you know, on the weekends, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wish we had a Saturday morning show, but it's just peculiar to me that there must be a trend, which I believe, and I believe it's in the radio business, too, that more people are just looking at things digitally than they are hard copies or over the air. But I wonder how it came to Saturday. Do more drivers want Saturdays off? Is Saturday a light paper day? I don't know. Because I don't know how you know when news is going to happen.
Well, the post office is contemplating doing that, too.
Well, I can understand. I can get the post office because they only work a half day on Saturday. So I can see why they might do that. And also a lot of the businesses that they deal with are closed on Saturday, so they're not getting their mail till Monday anyway.
Yeah.
But the newspaper, like I say, if there's a big story on Friday, if it goes in Saturday's paper and the paper on Saturday is only digital, well, I mean, how many people miss it?
Yeah, I listened to that show after Nate's show this week, too.
Now, what do they do on that? I like all three of those guys, but I've never heard the show.
Oh, they just talk a little bit about everything.
Oh, good. Well,
like they were talking about you know, cooking, and how, you know, one's mother, grandmother, what, didn't use a recipe, always, you know, cooked, you know, to taste and stuff like that. And I called in and told him, I said, well, that's fine when it comes to cooking sometimes, but I said, you know, when you're baking, you know, following precise directions that you know, you know, it's going to turn out good. You know, it's more important than when you're cooking the taste. You can always add salt to your dish, but if you, you know, bake it, you know, you can't add the salt, or, and maybe it needs a little bit more of this, you know.
Yeah, baking's a little more precise.
Right.
Baking powder, baking soda. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right, the topic this morning is the Marion Star announcing last week that they would stop delivery on Saturday of the hard copy of the paper. Now, did anybody read the article that this was announced in? Are they still going to deliver it to the gas stations? Does anybody have any information on this? Go ahead, caller.
I think sometimes when you have an obituary, the funeral home, the cost of printing it in the paper is added to your cost with the funeral home. It's not necessarily an individual would have it printed. It's more the funeral home, unless, and I've noticed, like, somebody that takes their person to the cremation place, there's no obituary unless the person's family prints it. So I think if you go to a funeral home, it's the funeral home just kind of adds that price into your cost of burial.
Yeah, well, I think that's right, but what I can't figure out, I mean, that money must go to the newspaper, because when we go to the funeral homes to get the obituaries, they give them to us for free, and I would think that if they were getting that money, that they would not be so quick to hand them to us for free.
No, there's a cost involved. It's just how they hide it.
Well, yeah, but everybody's obituary doesn't run. I do know that they ask you. They say, do you want the obituary run? And if you say no, then that cost is not in there. But I don't know how they figure the cost, because I don't think it's a flat rate.
Yeah, I would think the funeral home would get a break on it, because they're so, the volume. It's like FedEx or any of the other places, companies can negotiate a fee for that service that you and I would pay more for, but the volume dictates, and the contract dictates, that they could get it for less cost.
But isn't it interesting that most of the funeral homes now have their own websites, and they put them up there, and I don't think they're charging people to put them on their websites.
No, but the cost of running that website added to the, and spread out over the cost of funerals. So everybody's kind of paying for it. It's just you don't notice it.
Well, but the cost of the obituary in the paper, and I do wonder when this Saturday delivery stops in March, if your obituary would happen to run on a Saturday, do you get a break? I mean,
I don't know. Well, and somebody was saying that if some news event happens on a Saturday, well, there's not a whole lot of, other than the one girl and then McCurdy for the sports, there's not a whole lot of people writing for the Star anyway.
Well, but Saturday's paper is prepared on Friday morning. It's my understanding that if the story happens before, I think it's like 1 o'clock on the day before, then it's in the next day. So if there was a big news story Friday morning or Thursday night, it would be in the online edition on Saturday.
Yes.
But it would never make the newspaper.
And if you're not a subscriber, you can't always read the online.
Right. So I think that would be very, very difficult, because as far as local news goes, I don't know what you do.
Yeah, okay. And also, one other thing, when you were talking, this has nothing to do with anything you've talked about recently, but the next time you have people talking about Lady Justice, what dictates the direction she faces? Because each courthouse seems to have Lady Justice facing a different direction, I think. I've tried looking it up. I can't figure out how it's determined which direction Lady Justice faces on the top of a courthouse.
Well, which way does ours face?
I think west.
West.
I think.
Now, did
I
she
think.
Face west before?
I don't know. I'm not from here, and I kind of got involved when Charlie was talking about it.
Well, I just wonder, I'm talking in like the last, you know, when he put it back up there, was it facing the same way it is now?
Yeah, I don't know. That may be a Randy Winland question.
Well, it might be, but, you know, some of these things, like when we did the thing, you know, and I don't want to get back into it, but was it the same Lady Justice? You know, somebody called the commissioners, and they were supposed to call us. I never heard anything.
It's not a political year.
Well, and still to this day, I don't know what happened to the time capsule.
No.
Nobody's ever answered that. Nothing.
Nope. The tube's sitting somewhere.
What is it? I don't know.
They may have pitched it.
Well, you know, we had a listener who confronted all three commissioners and Judge Edwards on the morning Lady Justice was going back up and said, do you know where the time capsule is? And all four of them, apparently at that time, said, we don't know where it is. Now, how would you lose it? You took it off the building. Where would it go? That's why the whole suspicion, to be honest, started about, is it the same Lady Justice? Because the theory would have been, if you got rid of the old Lady Justice, you might not have checked up in there to see if there was anything in it.
That's true. So, just thoughts for the day.
Yeah, just thoughts to think about. Yeah, okay, but if anybody knows about the facing, maybe they'll let us know.
Yeah, that's just a trivia.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
All right, 49 minutes past the hour. Now, there's a question for you. Why, and some people don't even have, some cities don't even have Lady Justices or counties up on top of their courthouses. They have other things. But does the direction the Lady Justice faces, does that mean anything? I don't know. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you was talking about post office and all this and that. My daughter works for the post office, and she doesn't work a half day on Saturday.
Oh, she works a whole day?
Yeah, sometimes she works till almost dark, depending on how many packages she has to deliver.
Well, that's it. Then I wonder why there is such a hubbub about Saturday mail.
I don't know. I mean, she doesn't necessarily deliver the mail. She's what they call a runner. My wife said Saturday she delivers the mail. Sunday she delivers packages. But she still works. I mean, it's pretty much a whole day.
Well, I wonder if they just want to cut out delivery. I wonder if the delivery people, because it seems to me like wherever I've lived in this town, on Saturday the mail comes earlier than any other day of the week. Like, I don't see anybody delivering mail at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday.
And we used to get our mail about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It didn't matter what day it was when we lived in town. Now, out here where I live, it's usually somewhere between 11 and noon we'll get mail.
So even on Saturday, you got it way in the afternoon?
Yeah. When we lived in town, it was 4, sometimes 5 o'clock before we'd see mail.
Well, to be honest, I don't think they're ever going to do away with the postal delivery on Saturday, because they're still charging for stamps. Somebody would still have to be there to sort the mail. So the only people who would be cut out of this would be the delivery people.
Yeah, they've talked about that before. It's never happened.
But apparently it's going to happen with the newspaper starting in March.
Well, that's okay. I don't read the newspaper anyway. I get my news from you guys.
Well, hey, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, no, one other thing. You guys was talking about obituaries and stuff. Now, I have a contract out there at the cremation place on Williamsport.
Uh-huh.
And when I die, there'll be an obituary.
Now, did you have to pay a high amount for that?
No, I mean, I'm paying it on the payment plan, so of course I'm paying more than what it is, but no, I mean, I sat there and the guy asked me all these questions and said when my time comes, they'll put the obituaries in the paper or wherever.
Now, did they tell you how much that cost?
I got the paperwork. I can't remember what it is.
It's interesting because it seems to me, last I knew, that to run it in the paper, I know some people have said $100, but I know some people have said over $200 that it costs. So I don't know if it's a flat rate. I don't know if they charge. I don't even know how they charge. I don't know if it's by the word. I don't know.
Yeah. used to be they charged by the word, because, I mean, years and years ago when my mom went and when my brother went, we put their obituaries in the paper, and it was, they charged by the word.
You know, the only experience I ever had with an obituary was, I do know one time an obituary was written, and they mentioned the kids and the kids' spouses' names, but they didn't mention the grandkids' names. And I think one of the grandkids did not like that because they were particularly close with that person, more closer than their kids were. And I think they went and either redid the obituary before it ran or something. So I always wondered if they charged by the word, and maybe that's why they left names out.
Yeah, last I knew they did. That's how they charged, was by the word.
It could be. Well, hey, maybe somebody knows. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe. Bye-bye. All right.
All right, phone lines are open. Do you know how the charge for the obituaries comes about? Is it by the column, by the word? I'm not even sure what protocol is for obituaries. Do you list the grandkids' names? List the kids' names? Don't list the grandkids' names? Does anybody know the significance of which way Lady Justice is pointing on top of the courthouse? Does that mean anything to anybody? I don't know what it means. I don't know which way Our Lady Justice is facing now. I don't know what she was facing before. I don't know if there's significance to it. Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And does anybody ever know what happened to the time capsule? Maybe somebody'd want to call the commissioners and ask them. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, Ernie.
You know, it's not the Marion Star that makes these decisions. It's, you know, every Gannett newspaper has the same decision made on Saturday delivery.
Yeah,
Columbus Dispatch doesn't deliver on Saturday either. That's a Gannett newspaper now.
Now, in that article, are you still going to be able to buy them in the stores?
No, they're not going to print them.
Not going to print them at all?
No, right, right. That's, you know, it's with the minimum amount of help they have anymore, you got to give them a day off sometime. That's you know, just like a reporter. If you already got one reporter, you got to give them a little bit of time off sometime, you know.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Having to do it on a certain hour, you know, get it done.
Well, what I always thought what the Marion Star should do, if it's not a cost thing, if it's just letting the reporters have a day off, because it's going to be a hindrance to people because we never know when news happens. And if we have a big news story happen on a Thursday night or a Friday morning, nobody's going to know about it. There's going to be this big blank spot unless you have access to the internet.
Yeah, I don't know how, if they still cover all, you know, maybe do it on Sunday. I know they load up Fridays with everything they can, you know, in the print edition.
Well, that's what I thought. Well, you know, because we always get a lot of, you know, blood drives and church suppers and all that.
Not a deadline news.
Right. And I thought, well, if you did that on Saturday, then you could still print the Saturday newspaper, but if news did break, you could bump that dinner to Sunday and still get that story in.
Yeah. What they've said is that, you know, things like crossword puzzles and things like that, you could get, you know, they would still have for the online people. But news, you know, not necessarily even print any of that day's news in the online edition.
Wonder what they're going to do about the obituaries if they run them on Saturday.
I think they still cover all of them. I don't think they run any new ones on Saturday.
It's. I just wonder if this is a sign of the time, or if this is the start of newspapers going online,
yeah,
which a lot of them have already.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure, but it's this is a corporate decision. You know, it's not a Marion. Don't blame the Marion Star. They don't have any choice. You know.
No, they have to go along with the.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's like 20 Gannett newspapers in Ohio, and all of them have the same policy right now.
I wonder if Gannett, you know, I never checked that out. I wonder if Gannett is losing money these last few years.
They're probably not making much. You know, Steve or one of them talked about a nonprofit. I think they're already at that point, you know, being run by Gannett, probably.
Yeah.
Almost a nonprofit.
Well, I wonder if because I don't know what it costs to print a newspaper. I imagine it's quite a bit.
It's getting more.
Yeah, but I wonder if a local person did own some of these. I just think in Marion, we have a high significance with our newspaper because a president started it. And I think people hold that newspaper a little more than maybe they do the Delaware Gazette or the Toledo Blade. I think it's just, it's a piece of the president.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it shakes out.
But you know, just like Sophia, she does a lot of work on a lot of those articles that she writes. You know, it's, for her, it's a full-time job, you can tell.
Well, and it's also difficult when you're not only so short-staffed, but when you're so young and
right.
and really not from this community.
Yeah, she does. I think she does a great job in writing her articles.
Yeah, I got to meet her for the first time when she was out here for the fruitcake toss, and
okay.
I thought she was very nice.
Yeah, they've had, you know, the last couple have been first-timers, you know, in newspapers. I think the one that we had before, I think she still does work for the Columbus Dispatch now, so she moved on to the Dispatch.
Oh yeah, I think you're right. Was Sarah was her name?
Yeah.
I think she and I think Mitch, who just left, I think he was going to an online platform.
Okay.
So we wish him the best, and you know, hopefully it turns out okay. I do worry about a lot of people because I do know that chances are, if you're still paying that exorbitant rate to get the Marion Star delivered to your home, you're probably not looking at it online.
Right.
And that's unfortunate for those people.
Yeah. So I some people still like to have the paper in their hand. You know, it didn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But, hey. Lady Justice has always faced west in Marion, so I don't know what other, I don't know if there's a standard or if it's just, you know, where they happen to put it.
Yeah, I wonder if there is any significance to the way she faces.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I've never heard of any.
Well, the west sounds good.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Ernie.
Sure.
Bye-bye. All right, again, phone lines are always open here. I'll be on with Glenn Coble today from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m., so the conversation will not stop. And then we've got Progressive Life from 12:15 to 1. And let's see here. We will be back with Glenn Coble in about 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Yes, I was born right here, Charles. I never went anywhere.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you like it?
Sure.
Yeah, I liked it too. So how long have you had this show?
This show?
Yeah.
This particular